Well, I want to open up first with the question. When y'all think of Marines.
Brown.
Thank you. But you think of strong men.
Oh, yeah. That's it. That's what you
meant. Well, we eat crowns too, but we're strong men. Well, a little story to maybe put into perspective some of the men of the newer generation that are coming up, even in the Marine Corps. I joined, and I'm in the infantry. In case you don't know what the infantry is, because maybe some people don't, it's combat. That's your role. There are some young men that joined, and when we had talks of going into Syria, he said, I didn't sign up for this. Got an other than honorable discharge for failure to adapt to the military lifestyle. That is some young men, even in the Marine Corps, that are there. So, it's kind of shameful to think that there are men in the toughest breed of military that we have defending this country, and yet they cannot live up to it. They are weak. One thing that is very much needed in this younger generation of around my generation and now younger as I'm getting a little bit older is we have weak men that need guidance. And if we are going to be making disciples, we are going to have these weak men with us when they first come. So we're going to have to learn how to help remove that mindset. One thing, and I mentioned this with Matt earlier, my generation and the young generation, we didn't learn from our fathers certain things that we're now finding to be very important to be taught. We're having to learn it ourselves. So our generation needs to learn, and one thing I'm trying to learn, and I think this group of men here are able to bring about, is the ability to learn and then teach, and the ability to teach that skills of how to raise strong men. The mindset that is needed to be a strong man. The discipline and the determination and to be principled and moral. So that is something we're going to have to learn. I'm going to have to learn. And young men, y'all going to have to learn, is not only how to acquire this mindset, but to teach this mindset to your children and the young men that you will be discipling, and even the peers around you. Men are built to have these qualities, so it's very much needed and it's hard. Men will lose respect for other men who won't take action, and they won't stand for the beliefs and make excuses. Who doesn't hold the truth in his word. Who doesn't practice what he preaches. This is why many young men and men mid-aged around me, they follow Goggins, that Goggins mindset. Trying to follow that mindset and then developing that mindset themselves builds a strong mindset. This yet is still a worldly mindset. This mindset that we see is selfish. It is for me. How can I be better? And then through me being better, I can help other people be better as well. Good stuff in there, but yet the desire is selfish. So it does not have a place with the godly man. One thing that we can kind of develop from that is having that kind of mindset, but set to serve others and set on being that strong, but yet serving others, not serving ourselves. One thing more recently that I've realized is there are things that I've been doing that's very selfish in the way that I approach mostly like physical activity and trying to, and the reasons behind that. It's been very selfish in the way I've done it. And I'm recently been changing that mindset to acquire the mindset that's more on serving and not on pride. So looking at exercise and what it does as a means of building strength mentally, as well as the ability to serve for a longer period of time in the body. Because our bodies, we need to take care of it. It is a temple. So by being able to physically build determination, building discipline, having that ability to serve other people, we need to maintain that. So switching from that prideful mindset, I'm now trying to train for a marathon, because it's a different mindset. And instead of making it a thing for myself, it's more of a mind builder so that I have discipline that I have not yet learned, but I know this is going to be teaching me. So doing something different than what I actually truly love, which is bodybuilding. I love bodybuilding, but that is only purely for looks and pride. And I don't want to even have that mindset built up anymore. Because although it's not been a big mindset in me, it still has been there and it needed to change. So I'm making that change, and I don't want to have that Gongit's mindset where it's selfish. It's for me. Doing these things for me. I want everything to do, including the physical exercise that all men should be doing, to make myself more efficient and better for Christ in the way that I can serve by having that stronger mindset. One of the things, and with that with building that mindset, is by doing the things, and this is where Goggins' mindset is, scientifically, it brings out a very interesting thing that Matt brought out as well in the family camp message, the anterior mid-cingulate cortex. It is a gland in the brain that it controls willpower. It is as you do the things that you don't want to do, like procrastinating on a project in the house. Don't want to do that, but you decide, I'm just going to do it. That grows that anterior mid-cingulate cortex. And it's actually, as scientists have studied this, you actually see it growing. It physically grows. So you are physically growing a part of your brain that increases your willpower. And how we can use that for the kingdom is very impactful and something we should be looking at developing. So, and one of the reasons why I do bring out the physical aspect of exercise and stuff like that, that's just what I relate to the most. There's a lot of building the mindset and the discipline of the mind and body that I relate to the most, but there are many things outside of bodybuilding or running a marathon that you can do that does build that mindset, that does build and grow that anterior mid-cingulate cortex. So when we can find those things that we don't want to do, but will build that mindset, that gland growing, we need to identify that, and then we need to do that. We need to find small ways and big ways on how we can grow that so that we can have more discipline and have that mindset of, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it. And reaching out for those awkward moments that we don't want to do, to see a stranger and there's an opportunity there to speak to them. Just getting a conversation that could lead to preaching the gospel to them. If we let that awkward moment of, I don't want to do this, it's awkward. If we don't have the discipline we're growing and building to try to make an effort, then we're never going to take that step and get through that awkward feeling. Luke Wilson brought that out too. And every time he makes those steps where he goes to the guy in the gym and says, hey, I like that sweater you're wearing, just to initiate a conversation. And then through that conversation, he can find a way to meet, bring it back to God and be able to share the gospel with this dude. He's able to make that, and every time he does that, it grows in his brain. And every time he does that, it's going to get easier and easier because he's developing, he's rewiring his brain so that that becomes a normal thing. We can rewire our brains. Again, Matt, you hit this again at family camp so well. We can rewire our brains for that to be our pattern, our something that we look for. And we're not going to be scared of it anymore because it becomes normal. So if we can look for those moments, grow that anterior mid-cingulate cortex, that we can make those moments happen, less thinking about it and dwelling on the awkwardness of it, we can make it happen out of habit, out of a desire to look for that opportunity. So we won't dread those opportunities anymore in that awkward moment. We'll actually love and be encouraged every time that, although there'll be no's, there'll be, I'm not interested, dude. Every time we do get the, I'm actually been thinking about that. That little door that's open, we're excited. And it's just an opportunity that we've been waiting for each and every time. So thinking about the body and the discipline of the body and the mind and how those go together, we look at Matthew 4. In Matthew 4, we'll go through verses 1 and 3. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he fasted 40 days, 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of his mouth, out of the mouth of God." So after the 40 days, Jesus is tempted. But his discipline and the control he had over his body and his hunger, by building that discipline, he was able to withstand the temptation. In Matthew 26, if you look at verses 38 and 39, he says, "Then he said to them, 'My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me.' And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.'" And Luke 22:44, referencing the same period, it says, "His sweat became like drops of blood." That is hematidrosis. That's the medical condition. It's an extremely rare condition where a person sweats blood or blood-tinged fluid through intact skin, often triggered through extreme stress, fear, or high blood pressure. Tiny capillaries surrounding sweat glands rupture because blood, causing the blood to seep through the gland and merge as sweat. So that much stress on Christ as he is asking, he's saying, if this cup can pass, and ultimately it doesn't pass. And he could have bailed, but instead of bailing, he said, "Let your will be done." And he proceeded in the will of the Father. The strength that it takes to stand and follow the Father's will instead of his own is an example for us and something that we ourselves are trying to build and need to build. There's many ways in doing that. And the few ways that I've pointed out, everyone knows yourself the best. You also know where you can make those changes, where you can make that effort to build that discipline, to have that mindset, to be able to go through that kind of stress and still not bail on the mission of Christ, on our mission that we've been called to do. In Philippians 1, we'll look at 12 through 18. Philippians 1, 12 through 18. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known through the whole Praetorian Guard to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even for envy and strife, but also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motive, thinking of this, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether the pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I will rejoice. Paul trusts God with his life and is completely put into God's hands. He imprisoned for preaching the gospel. He knew it would happen, but he continues to preach regardless and rejoices for the sake of being strong and courageous for the brothers. Even if some do it out of selfishness, he still is rejoicing that the fact that the gospel is being preached. It strengthens the followers to see such bravery. The encouragement of seeing strength helps embolden those around him to see the strength, and it leads them to action. Thinking about that brings me to one of the greatest movies ever made, The Patriot. Mel Gibson, when he grabs that flag and he moves forward against everybody, the men saw that action that he took and they followed suit. They turned back around and charged forward. Probably not a true thing that happened, but acts like that, acts of bravery. And we know some stories of men who jumped on grenades for their brothers in arms or in a room, and they sacrificed a life. Some of them still alive, but they are permanently changed. There's acts of bravery like that, that there's a discipline of the mind. There is a selflessness that goes into seeing a man take those kind of actions. And we, as we develop the Christ-like mindset, are building that same mindset as well. But if we don't build the discipline, if we don't go through the suffering, or, and this is controlled suffering that we allow for ourselves to be, our discipline to be built, our minds to be strengthened, if we don't put ourselves through some suffering in the controlled environment, the discipline building, if we don't also go through it as we go through it in our life regardless, but when those things hit, if we don't have that mindset that we've built to go through the struggle and not give up, building the determination, when the times get tough, we won't be the men who grab the flag and turn people around. We will be one of those same guys who are retreating, and the battle will be lost. Every man here being capable, and I think willing, to grab that flag. We have Jesus as the example. His Spirit dwells in us. We have these attributes in us. We need to work on them and perfect them. We have in us the masculine qualities of Christ. Although the world might say these aren't masculine qualities, some of them are not masculine qualities, like turning the other cheek or not taking vengeance, is a true statement of your strength and control. Worldly men say it's weakness, but we know it's love and godliness. And what strength and willpower a man has that he will forgive those who wronged him for the glory of God, we have to. so that we can save the lost soul. And our forgiveness is a testament to the difference between the world and Christ. Our love for Christ and others should trump all other qualities in us. And at the same time, we are strong enough to carry the boat. In this circle, I would say, instead of carry the boat, let's carry the cross. Let's be godly men in all things capable of doing what's needed to be done. We should be on the outside looking similar to a Goggins kind of guy. We don't have to run 100 miles. But the mindset that if I wanted to do it, I can do it. That kind of mindset should be what we have so that we can carry the cross. No selfishness should be in us, but we should have love and love for Christ, love for our neighbors, love for our church, and love for our families as the driving factor behind everything that we do. Thank you.